Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is the Soundcheck Podcast from WNYC, made on Varick Street.
Back in February, a New York librarian named Sarah Ohala set out on a mission. Listen to each album in her husband's vinyl record collection, all 1,500 of them. Now, she set a few rules for herself. Sarah had to listen to the albums in alphabetical order. She had to listen to the entire album, no matter what. And then she had to write about the music and the cover art on a new blog. The result is a Tumblr site called My Husband's Stupid Record Collection, and it has raised more than a few eyebrows online. It brings Sarah Ohala to our Soundcheck studio. Hey, Sarah.
Hi.
And also joining us is Sarah's husband, Alex Goldman, who has not traveled far because Alex is a producer on the WNYC show On the Media and co-hosts the TLDR podcast. Hi, Alex.
Hi, John.
So, Sarah, your first post on February 22nd of this year, let's see how far I can go. So how far have you gotten so far?
I'm a little into the Bees. I just did a Beatles album.
Mm-hmm. And how often do you do this?
I try to do it every day. It takes a couple of hours, so I don't always have time, but
right.
I try to do one every day.
So 1,500 albums at an album a day, you're looking at what? Like close to
couple
four
years.
Or 5 years?
Yeah.
All right. So you are committed to this.
You know, yeah, it's still feels very fun. So I guess if it starts feeling like a chore, maybe it won't be an album a day anymore,
right,
but
right.
I look forward to it, and it's been going strong for a couple months.
So. What made you want to do this in the first place?
Curiosity, I think. Boredom. It was winter, and you know, we just moved to a house in New Jersey from Brooklyn. So, you know, we had just moved the record collection once again,
mm-hmm.
and all of the boxes, and.
Now, Alex, is this where the title of the blog comes from, My Husband's Stupid Record Collection?
I mean, I think it's a bit tongue-in-cheek, but definitely the record collection is least appealing to her and to me when we have to move.
Yeah.
So,
1,500 LPs, that's a lot of milk crates.
We still have about 5 boxes still packed in the basement that I haven't gotten to yet.
Have you listened to all 1,500?
Pretty much. I would say that there are a few that have been gifted to me or that I picked up solely because they were, you know, 50 cent bin cover with weird cover art that I filed away and never really listened to. Like, I think I have a DeBarge record I haven't listened to all of yet, but we will once we get to it. Sarah's going to listen to it anyway.
Okay. All right. That's in the D's, though, so that's still a couple of months away, perhaps. Let's talk, Sarah, about some of the things that you have already heard. And I want to get to some of the reaction that you've gotten for the Tumblr site. But music from a couple of albums you've recently reviewed. The first is an album that you liked. Tell me about discovering Syd Barrett.
Well, when I pulled the album out, I knew who Syd Barrett was. I knew he was in Pink Floyd. And I knew a little bit about the fact that he had sort of gone crazy or had a mental illness. And I didn't know much more about that, but I knew that there was sort of a sad history with Syd Barrett.
Right.
You know, I had The Wall and Dark Side of the Moon when I was in high school and loved them, but I didn't.
Later albums that are about Syd Barrett, sort of.
Yeah. You know. So, and that's why I knew about him a little bit, but I never had one of his albums. So, yeah, right away, it gave me that feeling that is pretty rare with music where I felt like a very strong connection with it right away. And, you know, there's been other albums of Alex's that I like the music, but it doesn't make me feel, you know, just like an emotional connection.
Yeah.
And this right away, I just, first couple of notes, I knew I was going to love it.
The artist is Syd Barrett, founder of Pink Floyd, and from the album called Simply Barrett from 1970, this song is called Gigolo Ant.
Moving around in a trench coat with the satin on trail. Seems to be all around it, din and then palely pale. Driving on down to the beach to see the blue and the grey. Seems to be all on its rosy, it's a beautiful day.
gigolo, aren't you? The gigolo, aren't? Yes, I know what you are. You are a gigolo, aren't you? The gigolo, aren't?
That is Syd Barrett, the late Syd Barrett. And the song Gigolo Aunt from the album Barrett. In 1970, he really said it was his second and final solo album before really completely disappearing from the music scene. And Sara O'Hala really liked this one on the blog My Husband's Stupid Record Collection. Sara is listening to each of her husband Alex's 1,500 LPs. So you liked that one, but it hasn't been all Barrett and Beatles. There have been records that you weren't so crazy about.
Yeah, only one really that I had a very visceral reaction to hating, I guess you could say.
And what one was that?
That was Albert Ayler's Spirits Rejoice.
So free jazz from the early 60s, not working for you.
Yeah, you know, I've heard free jazz before, obviously, and but I don't think I'd ever taken the time to sit down and listen to an album of just that kind of music all the way through. And that's when it really started to feel hard to listen to, and I just wanted to turn it off. It was hard not to break one of my ground rules.
Which was to listen to the whole thing, no matter what. In the blog, Sara writes, sounds like Soundcheck, the band soundchecking, not this show, but if the band was really angry or something. I'd be really angry if I was in a band and this was the kind of music we had to play. Bit of music from Albert Ayler, the great jazz sax player, very prominent on the free jazz scene in the 60s. This album, Spirits Rejoice, is from 65. That's called DC. Sara O'Hala just not buying it.
It kind of felt like someone was just poking me over and over again, you know, with that
now,
same
Now, Alex,
note.
You bought this at some point. You were into this music.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, now, Alex, you work for On the Media.
Right.
So when the media started to pick up on Sara's blog, on My Husband's Stupid Record Collection, were you surprised?
Absolutely. We started it as just sort of a fun project between the two of us and imagined that it would be our friends reading it. And I remember one afternoon we went to visit a friend of ours. We went over to a friend's house, and my phone was just buzzing over and over and over again because the followers count just kept flying up. Mm-hmm. It was just sort of precipitous climb all of a sudden. And it was so informal. We were so not prepared for it. It's not as though we installed analytics on the site so that we knew where the traffic came from. We don't really have any idea how it became so big. It's just all of a sudden it took hold and people started following it.
Now and the reaction has been both positive and negative. New York Magazine, you guys made it onto New York Magazine's approval matrix. Lowbrow and brilliant.
My favorite quadrant.
That's where you want to be. But then on the other side, you had a lot of people sort of complaining, Sara, that by you sort of going through your husband's record collection, that you were sort of reinforcing a lot of gender stereotypes, especially within the music community. Mm-hmm. Did you guys think of that at all when you were starting this?
Nope. You know, it's his collection, and that's where the word husband comes in. The word stupid was definitely put in there tongue in cheek right away, and really not much thought given to it. I thought it sounded funny.
Yeah.
But I think some people were focusing on both of those words just in the title before even reading
Before reading what you had written,
what yeah,
you had,
what
the
I had
actual
written,
reviews.
Yeah.
All right, it's called "My Husband's Stupid Record Collection." Sara Ohala going through all of Alex Goldman's 1,500 LPs. Annie Zaleski, not impressed, tweets, "It just reinforces the stereotype that women can't be discerning music fans in the same way men are. It's insulting and demeaning." Headline from FlavorWire, "The Uncomfortable Gender Politics of My Husband's Stupid Record Collection." The author Judy Berman writes, "The problem, as I see it, isn't just that this project reinforces the assumption that women don't know as much about music as the men in their lives. It also perpetuates the more general 70s Woody Allen-worthy idea that heterosexual relationships revolve around men educating women." What do you make of that?
Well, I just wanted to learn something new. I don't think Alex was really educating me. I was learning something new on my own. I was using this collection that was in my house to my advantage.
Mm-hmm.
And I also think that there isn't one way to write about music. So I started the blog thinking, I actually hesitated after I had the initial idea. I hesitated to write the first post because I thought, I don't know how to write about music.
Right.
I've never tried to. I've never, in my very first post, I don't say I'm trying to be a music journalist here. I basically say the complete opposite. But I decided, you know, I love to write. So let me just write in the way that I enjoy and see what happens. And I think that's what people connected with. And it's not your typical way to write about music. It's not a way that most men write about music.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess that's where the gender things come in. But
well, now it's,
I'm just being myself.
NPR Music's Ann Powers takes a more nuanced approach to the project. She writes, "It is complicated. Deflating the aura of expertise can be useful, but only to a point. Knowledge," she writes, "knowledge is power." And it sounds like what you were doing was not, hey, now my husband's educating me on music, but hey, my husband has this library of stuff and I'm going to go in there and see what I can find.
Yeah, well, I've only done a little over 30 reviews, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see how I sound 500 reviews in. I mean,
you'll be just as jaded as the rest.
Exactly.
Of us. So, I mean, did you at some point when this started happening, and as Alex said, you guys, you know, you thought this was just going to be friends and family reading it, and suddenly the media's glomming on and there's like a battle royale going on the internet over this. Was there anything in those criticisms that made you kind of maybe reconsider a little bit or think, there's a point there that I want to follow up on?
Yeah, I definitely think there's a point. I think that the way I'm writing about music is a way that can be written about music, but I also think that women, especially women who want to write about music, and women in the music industry are put under this higher level of scrutiny that really is not fair. And let's talk about that. You know, I love talking about gender, and so my blog has sort of brought that conversation up. I don't think that I need to stop what I'm doing, that what I'm doing is hurting these women, but people are bringing up a bigger conversation about gender and music, and I think it's important. And it's actually exciting that I feel like my blog went from being more of like a silly little project to kill time and have fun with to a bigger conversation that I'm happy to be a part of.
Yeah. You've gotten up to the Beatles, so let's move your process forward a step here. We're going to play something that is from Alex's record collection that's like another album or two down the road. Take a listen to Big Black.
Live here my whole life. There's kerosene around. Something to do. Set me on fire!
That is Kerosene from the album Atomizer by the band Big Black from 1986. This is not the whole album. It's not even the whole song, Sarah, but initial reaction?
Well, the lyrics, I definitely was focusing on the lyrics right away. And before the vocals even came in, I had this prediction that I almost thought, is this going to be rap? And then it wasn't, but the lyrics were actually... had a talk, it was more like talking poetry feel to them, so similar to rap a little bit. And I liked the angstiness of, I could picture like teenagers being mad about their small town.
And if you like the angst in that song, wait till you get to the rest of the record or even the rest of that song. Big Black was Steve Albini. The singer and guitarist who would famously go on to produce Nirvana and so much more.
Okay.
So that was his kind of punk, post-punk band from the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
Alex?
Well, Sarah's heard me talk about Steve Albini quite a bit before. So the short version of it is Nirvana did a single with the Jesus Lizard, which was produced by Steve Albini, and that became my entree into indie rock, basically. So Nirvana did this Jesus Lizard single. I heard it, and then I got the Touch and Go Records catalog, and that's how I learned about
it. That's the record company that the Jesus Lizard was on.
The Jesus Lizard and Big Black and
right.
Steve Albini's bands. And that's sort of how I learned about – that was a big, big step in learning about music for me.
Right.
So this album, even though I haven't listened to it in a decade, is a landmark in that way.
Yeah. And for you, Sarah, I mean, you know, Alex is talking about, a big step. This is a 1,500 album step that you're taking with my husband's stupid record collection. So you got 1,470 to go.
Yep.
Well, I have a sneaking suspicion that we'll be seeing the two of you back here at some point later on Soundcheck. But Sarah Ohala is the writer, librarian, and author of the Tumblr site My Husband's Stupid Record Collection. Alex Goldman is Sarah's husband and the owner of said stupid record collection and a producer on the WNYC program On the Media. Guys, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thanks for listening. Stay connected by subscribing to the Soundcheck podcast on iTunes. Follow us on Twitter and Facebook, and download the new WNYC mobile app for free. See you next time. I'm John Schaefer.